Hello and welcome again to our Home at Home services. Lovely to have you come and join us, and we're hoping that today you are going to continue to experience what we have been doing over the past few weeks, really engaging in the presence of the Lord and allowing Him to fill us with His wisdom and His grace. Thank you so much for the welcome, and as always, our worship team, thank you again for allowing us to come together and worship in song. And we're going to continue worshiping as we connect with one another, and I'm hoping that you are able to feast and to celebrate and find deeper connections as we go through this journey. We're really looking at finishing up the story of Gideon. We'll see how far we get today, but we know that Gideon has been really giving us a great example of how God picks and identifies those who He calls, in a sense of how He has an overarching knowledge of our possibilities, of our skill set, and what we can do. And He has this plan that is ideal for us. And I want to encourage you today to know that God has an ideal plan. He knows you. He knows how effectively and well you are designed and what you are specifically able to accomplish. And when we partner with Him, as Gideon has been doing, we begin to see how he becomes somebody of power, somebody of authority, somebody that is given exponentially grace by God to overcome challenges, to overcome enemies, and as we have been discussing, to become a deliverer. So Gideon explained, saying, listen, I'm the least of my tribe, and my tribe is one of the least in Israel. And God says, no, but you are a mighty man of valor, a man who is specifically equipped with great ability and courage. And so Gideon takes on his identity that was formed before the foundation of the world. And I want to let you know that that's how God is. Your real identity, Superman, has been established way before you were born. And our God knows that. And if we can trust Him, Wonder Woman, you'll then find actually that you will step into everything that He has for you. And you'll find that the capabilities, the way that you're designed, begins to make sense. Because sometimes we don't understand ourselves. And why have I been given these abilities? Why can I do what I do? We're just going to know that God always has a plan. And when we've given up on a plan that doesn't work, God will say, okay, look, this is the ideal one and what you were designed for. So here, Gideon has come out of his shell, come out from hiding. He's torn down the idols, and this is in Judges chapter 6, he's torn down the idols of Baal or Baal, and he's been subsequently given the name Jerubbaal or Jerubbaal or Baal. Let's get it right. And so in doing so, he's been declared as the one who tore down Baal, the one who removed the false god, the one who removed what was now taking the focus off the true authority and power, which is God Almighty. And so in doing so, Zerubbabel now has this attached to his name, Gideon. And we look in chapter 7, we see actually that Gideon now is not only partnering with God, but he's now engaging in a process that God is refining. Verse 1, we're told here that Jerubbaal got up early the next morning, all his troops right there with him. They set up camp at Spring, or Harod Spring, and the camp of Midian was in the plain north of them near the hill of Moreh. So that's the location where they now set up camp because they're going to fight a battle. Gideon is now realizing that what God has said about him is true, and he's preparing a group of people that are going to go out and fight. And so pretty much they've got majority of the men and individuals who are all coming out to fight this war. And in verse 2 and 3, God then says to Gideon, you have too large an army with you. Now, I never thought that that would be a problem, but actually God knows, and there are reasons. He says, look, I can't turn Midian over to them like this. They'll take all the credit, saying, I did it all myself and forget about me. Now, that can almost sound selfish, but it's not. God's realizing that with the numbers they have, they will believe at all times that their victory is based on numbers rather than the authority and the power of God. So God has determined that their confidence must be in him. If it's not, they're going to also be susceptible to whatever they think is the most effective way rather than what is God's way. And I want to encourage you today that that's what God wants from us. When we operate in our own strength, we look at our own capabilities, but often they fall short and you find they can go so far and no further. But God, who knows all things, has limitless power. So he would rather you rely on his limitless power than our limited power. And this is what he's saying here. And so he says, look, they're going to forget about God and make a public announcement. He says, anyone afraid, this is what he's saying to Gideon, anyone who's afraid, anyone who has any kind of qualms at all may leave Mount Gilead now and go home. So what happened? 22 companies headed for home. 10 companies were left. God still feels like, okay, we've still got work to do here. Verse 4 and 5, God said to Gideon, there are still too many. Take them down to the stream and I'll make a final cut. When I say this one goes with you, he'll go. When I say this one doesn't go, he won't go. So Gideon took the troops down to the stream. I love that. God is very clear, very specific. I'm going to decide how this works. I wonder if we could surrender ourselves to God and submit to him so that we get on to his plan rather than trying to get him onto our plan. Tell the person next to you, say, you need to be on God's plan. Get with God's program. That's what we need to do, because our program, our plans often lack having a full view of the whole picture. So they go down to the brook. This is verse 5. This is what God is saying. With those that go down to the brook, I'm going to tell you who to take with you. Verse 5 and 6. God says to Gideon, everyone who laps with his tongue, the way a dog laps, set on one side. And everyone who kneels to drink, drinking with his face to the water, set on the other side. 300 lapped with their tongues from their cupped hands. All the rest knelt to drink. So God is using a very practical expression, but one that is identifying how the individuals are approaching the task ahead of them. Realizing that danger is at hand, they realize I've got to be in a position to have eyes on what's happening. I've got to be able to see, is an enemy on the way, while I'm still gaining sustenance, while I'm still being resourced. And part of what we struggle with is God wants us to watch and pray. He wants us to be able to view and worship. He wants us to be in his presence, but having an eye over what is going on. So we are completely connected. So we are calling from heaven what needs to manifest on earth. So we are in this dual purpose or position where we are seated in heavenly places, but we have a view and we have an authority in another dimension. And so God is giving us this here. So these men were conscious with clarity. They've got to keep a lookout. I can't make myself vulnerable. And many of us are putting ourselves in harm's way. Why? Because we're not seeing with the all-seeing panoramic view that God has. We're not getting onto his page and saying, God, you see what I don't see. And so here, these individuals were then selected because they cupped with their hands and they still drank while they were looking. I wonder if you can stay focused on what God is doing and where he's leading, rather than we see today all these individuals walking with their phones and their hands and looking down and often potentially in danger. So God then says in verse 7 to Gideon, I'll use the 300 men who lapped as the stream to save you and give Midian into your hands and all the rest may go home. After Gideon took all their provisions and trumpets, he sent all the Israelites home. He took up his position with the 300 and the camp of Midian stretched out below him in the valley. So we know the premise and the character of this story. God has now got his 300 army, a 300 numbered army. And so verse 29 says that night God told Gideon, Get up and go down to the camp. I've given it to you. If you have any doubts about going down or going down to Para, your armor bearer, he says, when you hear what they're saying, you'll be bold and confident. And his armor bearer, Pura, went down near to the place where the sentries were posted. Midian and Amalek, all the Easterners, were spread out in the plain like a swarm of locusts, and their camels past counting like grains of the sand of the seashore. So what we have here, they've gone down, one of the spies from Gideon's camp, to look and to see what's happening. And they realize that not only are there innumerable amount of individuals, but they're looking at what they're doing. They've got all these, they were like locusts. And it also says like the grains of the sand of the seashore. So they were highly outnumbered. And often that's what the enemy does. He tells us, look how big it is. Look how grand it is. Look at what you can do. And often he sells you a story based on the high numbers, based on puffing everything up and making it look greater and bigger and more powerful than it is. But with God, numbers don't matter. Because he tells us that one of us can chase 1,000, but two can put 10,000 to flight. He tells us that one person with God is exponentially great. And so here, verse 13, Gideon arrived just in time to hear a man tell his friend a dream. He said, I had this dream. A loaf of barley bread tumbled into the Midianite camp. It came down the tent and hit it so hard it collapsed. The tent fell. His friend said, this has to be the sword of Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite. God has turned Midian, the whole camp, over to him. Now, what an amazing thing to encounter, that you're going to spy on your enemy and you hear your enemy telling and speaking amongst themselves, telling each other that we are going to be defeated by Gideon because God has given them over to us, over to them. So God knows all things. And while you're struggling and trying to work things out, God has already got the victory. And I love this story. It never loses its power. The principle is let God make the plan. Can I say that again? Let God make the plan. Tell the person next to you, let God make the plan. Because when we make it, we can't see all the anomalies. We can't see all the weaknesses. But God sees all things. God can get your enemies to declare victory for you. God can get your enemies to say yes when they want to say no. Why? Because he is God. Verse 15, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation, he dropped to his knees before God in prayer. Then he went back to the Israelite camp and said, get up and get going. God has just given us the Midianite army. I wonder if you can declare that God has just given me my breakthrough. God has just given me my blessing. God has just given me the answer. Why? Because I know he's a present help in the time of trouble. Gideon listened to the prophetic nature of God and what he said. And I want to tell you now that God hears and he answers prayer. You've just got to get onto his plan and his way of doing what needs to be done, because through him and in him, you will come out on top and with your hands held up and stronger, more, in fact, informed, more anointed than how you went in. Why? Because that's how God works. Verse 16 and 18. He divided the 300 men into three companies. He gave each man a trumpet, an empty jar with a torch in the jar. I love this because it's like, for those of you who remember the old program of Blue Peter, it's like you've gone to a craft set and we've got here, they're giving out trumpets and empty jars and these are torches. And he says, and he said, watch me and do what I do. I love that again, because they were together. I wonder if we could really operate like that together, that we have our worship team leading in worship and we're following where they're going. We're saying, God, where are you taking us to drink? Where are you taking us for a victory? And we flow together. Maybe you're in that group right now. You can become one. You can pray about specific things together. You can focus in and say, look, together we can overcome. And so Gideon says, whatever you see me do, That's what you do. Watch me and do what I do. When I get to the edge of the camp, do exactly what I do. When I and those with me blow the trumpets, you shall also, all around the camp, blow your trumpets and shout. And for God and for Gideon. For God and for Gideon. I love that. Again, God is giving us a plan. He's giving us a blueprint here. Shout for God first, and then for Gideon. You see, God must come first because he gets all the glory. He gives us the victory. And so these men got these jars. They lit them. So you've got to let your light shine. I wonder if I can say that to you again. In the moment that you're going through a crisis, don't dim your light. Make it shine even brighter. Declare that the God I serve is able. The God I serve is capable. I don't have to cower. I don't have to hide anymore. Remember, they were hiding in caves. They were doing all kinds of things in secret and afraid of the enemy. But here now, they're letting a light shine. You're declaring, I'm not hiding anymore. I wonder if you can receive that today. Stop hiding your light. Let others know who you are. Let them know the love of Christ. You can't save anybody. You don't have to save anyone. You simply have to introduce them to the Christ who is in you through the way you love, through the way you speak, the way you encourage, the way you inspire, the way you behave and conduct yourself. And here we see Gideon saying, follow me. I wonder if there are those amongst us that can be examples for others to follow. I wonder what you're giving as a reason or a motivation for your children to be able to come up and know that when we put God first, he will take care of everything else. He will see those things we can't see. Verse 19 to 22, it says, Gideon and his 100 men got up to the edge of the camp at the beginning of the middle of the watch, just after the sentries had been posted. They blew the trumpets at the same time, smashing the jars they carried. Now, come on, you're going out to war. You're blowing a trumpet and smashing a jar. Most of us say, well, not for me. But you see, when you let God use what might seem menial, what might seem simple, he's able to transform it and manifest so powerfully that the enemy is impacted. And look what it says. All three companies blew the trumpets and broke the jars. They held the torches in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands, ready to blow and shout it. A sword for God and for Gideon. They were stationed all around the camp, each man at his post. The whole Midianite camp jumped, look at what's saying here, to its feet. They yelled and fled. When the 300 blew the trumpets, God aimed each Midianite's sword against his companion all over the camp. They ran for their lives to Beth Shittah, towards Zererah, to the border of Abel Mahalah, and near Tabith. And they basically fled. They ran in every direction because God had set ambush with a masterful plan of blowing a trumpet and declaring war, of smashing a glass, and God would amplify it. So what I tell you today is that what might seem small to you, our God is able to magnify it and give you the impact that's required. Verse 23, the Israelites rallied from Naphtalite, from Asher, and from all over Manasseh. They had Midian on the run. I wonder if you can get the enemy on the run today. Can I tell you that God is declaring that if you trust him, he will have your enemies become your footstool. Remember, we talked about this earlier, how what that meant was that they would have, you would be able to put your foot on your enemy's neck and allow yourself to know that you have the victory. Why? Because God has given whatever that challenge is over to you. Gideon then sent the messages to all the hill of the country of Ephraim, urging them, come down against Midian, capture the fords of Jordan at Beth Bara. So all the men of Ephraim rallied and gathered the fords and Jordan at Beth and Bara, and they also captured two Midianite commanders, Oreb, it's Raven, and Zeb, Wolf, and they killed Oreb and Raven, Rock. Zeb, they killed a wolf winepress. And they pressed the pursuit of Midian. They brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon across the Jordan. I want to tell you that this battle, victory, this overcoming moment all started when a man who thought he was so insignificant came out from hiding in a cave and listened to the voice of God. We've established that in this school of deliverance, this deliverance school, that the premise is worship. We know you and I, we have an issue, we have a challenge, something that is looming over, some battle that we have to fight. But when we put our confidence in God, when we trust Him, we realize that just like He did for Gideon, He can magnify His presence in your life because you give Him worship. We begin the process by giving Him worship. I love that song, I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you, Jesus. And when you do that, you magnify Him. God exponentially, His presence comes down in that place and He takes authority over whatever environment you are in. And in so doing, you then begin to get onto His plan. What does God say? What is His skill set? What is His vision? You've been trying to do things for yourself too long. Get onto God's plan. And God will use some very simple things to confuse and defeat the enemy. Trust Him today. Maybe it's a shout. You need to give God a shout. Maybe you just need to get some instruments and make some noise or put some music on and give Him praise. But let me tell you, when you allow God to fight your battle for you, He will ultimately deliver you. And you come out of there knowing that you know that you know that if it had not been for God on your side, you would not have come through. Gideon received a victory because he engaged God and took on the name that God had for him. I wanted to declare that to you today. Let from this day going forward, you behave and become who God says you are, that you're His child. And know that He has already overcome the world. Therefore, He has delivered you. You can go and deliver others. Because you're doing it by surrendering to Him and watching Him do it through you. I wonder if you can just go get your blessing and allow God to make you a deliverer. Because you know that He has delivered you. May God encourage you today. The battle is not yours. It is God's. Shout for joy. Lift your hands for victory. And let the enemy know that you're doing it in the name of Jesus. May God bless you. May He anoint your head with oil. Go get your blessing.